All right, Mayor D.C. Reeves, questions from the audience. What is the status of the 17th Avenue train trestle, boat launch, and boardwalk wraparound project?
Yeah, great question. I believe construction will begin in Q1. This is something we've been talking about and threatening. There's obviously layers to this. I always delineate because people think of Wayside Park. Right. Obviously,
Wayside Park, the protecting the bridge from getting struck, and the boardwalk around are three adjacent projects, but not, they're all different projects.
And significantly different timelines. So right. If you think of everything south of the boat launch, you know, of the boat ramp itself, everything south going towards Gulf Breeze is on pause because there's a $20+ million fishing bridge construction. So ultimately,
that the county is doing, that is a county project.
That is correct. And so it would not make a lot of financial sense on behalf of the taxpayer to go repave, put in new picnic pavilions, and then put a fence up for 2 years while they use that as a laydown yard. So clearly there's nothing happening at Wayside because that would be fiscally irresponsible to be able to spend that type of money for it to just get beat up again. So
just before you get to the board, a quick question. Is Wayside Park renovations, it's going to be on us, right? FEMA still hasn't come through on that, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And that's been a battle. Yeah.
Right. Since Sally.
Yeah. Okay. Was it Skanska? Was it whoever?
Got it.
So,
okay.
A never ending battle. That being said, we believe construction will begin in Q1 on the trestle walkthrough at the graffiti bridge or at the bayou.
Okay.
Bayou's edge.
The walk there. Around.
Under, yeah. For pedestrian safety. The parking lot, I know this will be hard for you to believe. Our costs went up on the parking lot because whoever had repaved it had decided to just put pavement on dirt. So no
preparation, no sites. Okay.
Correct. So turns out when you pick up pavement that was just set on dirt, it becomes a little more expensive to put it back correctly. So we've managed through that. And then really the thing that's taken the most time is we have to get all sorts of FDOT permissions and right-of-ways on FDOT roads to put in the technology for the graffiti bridge warning system.
Okay.
So it wasn't, we've known what the warning system's going to be for months. It's a matter of
Is the end design here?
Yeah, it's going to be electronic based. It's going to be, it, you will get,
say laser.
Laser.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. LAZER. There will be a technology based solution. That means when you drive your truck, that is too tall, there will be a sensor or a laser, however you want to put it, that will ping, and then there will be
lights
warnings. And screaming at you on both sides.
Okay.
So the south side was FDOT roadway. So where the pole goes has to be approved. What the technology is has to be approved. And I don't know that this is something for us to brag about, but I guess it makes us unique, is it took so long because FDOT claims that there is not one bridge in the state of Florida that they have to put a warning system on.
There's no other place in Florida where people are this incompetent.
Well, if you think about it, Florida's a big state. And I guess it makes sense. There's probably every place that would have a bridge of that age that would have that low clearance has probably been replaced at this point.
Right.
We are in this unique situation. So how do you replace it? Where do you put it?
Right.
And then our unique geography of 17th Avenue, you can't close it.
You
need the thoroughfare.
It's a vital throughway.
You can't just put it on a mountain or pull a train up the hill and back down the hill, you know? So it's right next to the water body. So that you would have to replace the entire bridge.
Graffiti bridge is a great example of what we were talking about before, where everybody's got a great idea who doesn't know anything about what you can actually do at the site.
Right.
And it's not for lack of intent. It's just, it's a complicated thing. And once you realize it's a complicated thing to solve, you just kind of become a little bit more charitable in your interpretation. So,
but Q1, we
Q1 for the boardwalk. Same for the
parking
the
lot,
morning,
boardwalk, and technology for the graffiti bridge. All of that is kind of one package project. And then again, everything to the south of that will just be waiting on the bridge construction.
Okay. All right. Wow. So you're going to be the mayor that ended all the fun that is Graffiti Bridge. I've said this many, many times. We know it's terrible. It's terrible for visitors. But it's the thing that we love to make fun of, and we love to see the terror, horrible thing happen.
Yes.
I genuinely think Pensacola will miss the catastrophe of Graffiti Bridge when it's not there anymore.
If that's you asking if I'm aware that any political opponent I may have may attack
campaign
me
against
on,
you,
yeah, attack me on my
how dare you solve this problem.
Yeah, ending the entertainment that is right. Well, the can opener. Yeah.
I think that's the reality that nobody's going to be willing to say out loud except for me, but there we go.
That's right.
Okay, so Q1 on both of those on those projects. Very good question. Let's see. Somebody says, I would like to see the city beautify the grass surrounding the landscape and Pelican coming off the bridge. Okay, so this is at the new sign.
Yes.
There's often tall weeds growing in that area. I think it takes away from the beauty of the Pelican.
Yeah, you're talking about the new sign that FDOT paid for.
Yes.
Okay.
The neon sign that is beautiful that was paid for by FDOT that
not by us.
You got attacked for by the CFO for something that you that was paid for by the state. Right.
Okay. Good. Just making sure we're talking about the same sign. So, that is FDOT right away, and so that is their job to maintain. And part of it was budget related. We could have proposed or spent above and beyond whatever we wanted, like we could in any park or pavilion. But obviously, we had to manage cost and the plantings that are there. Obviously, they're immature plantings. They've just, this just took place. So those will continue to grow. But from a landscape standpoint, any of that stuff you see in and around the terminus at the bridge, all of that is FDOT owned.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean it can't be done, but I can tell you, you know, budgets are strapped. And usually what I say, if someone asks me something about beautification in town hall is, how are you going to vote on property tax?
Yeah.
Because that might determine
where's the money going to come from. And the legislature is doing its best to make us less able to do this stuff.
Correct. So, you know, understand every type of request about, I want my park cut more often. I want my sidewalk fixed. I want all of these things or all the, these are the value propositions that you have to think about when you decide you want to fund municipal government or not. What I'd tell you is, you know, with 95 parks and 11 community centers, it would be safe to say our focus wouldn't be primarily on FDOT roadway. I know how many people drive by it and the value of that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think we've done a pretty good job of trying to make it look as good as we can, but that probably wouldn't be super high on our priority list versus
compared
some critical
to everything
areas
else.
That,
yeah.
that the city.
And it's not
fund.
Your, it's not your baby,
exactly.
Which I mean, I commend you for so many times being willing to say it's not my baby, but I still know how to change the diapers and I can try to fix it. But you know, there are some things where, you know, you just, it's just not
your
baby.
Make decisions. Yeah,
not,
yeah. Yeah. What's most critical.
Can you do about all these people on the corners, squatting, gambling, drug dealing, drinking, hanging out, camping during the day camping. Okay. And making the place look horrible.
Yeah. So of course I'm always careful in saying all these people,
sure.
You know, typically is like, well, first of all, the best thing you can do as a citizen is you can absolutely call the non-emergency line of the police department. You can call 311 about anything if you'd like. And what we've done at the city in this administration to try to take these issues head on was, instead of you having to call the police and then a random police officer selected to go to whatever corner in the, of the city, we hired two community response specialists where they work for the police department, but is they are trained in mental health issues. They are trained in knowing where all the services are located. So truly a situation of saying, hey, if somebody is just looking for a hand up and not a handout, they're looking to get their lives back in order. It's not someone with a bulletproof vest and a gun coming and saying, who may not be necessarily trained as much in trying to handle and manage those types of situations, triage those situations.
Right.
We have two people full time that are doing that. And so we brought them on. And then secondly, the ordinance passed by the legislature last year about no camping in public property certainly has changed our ability to be able to manage those situations. And I can certainly say where we would see most visible homelessness downtown has been a marked change. Absolutely. You know, in terms of night and day.
So the law has actually made an improvement, made a difference. Okay.
Yeah. Because it allows our law enforcement to be able to take on those things.
Somebody says, what are your plans when you're no longer the mayor? Are you going to continue in politics? I would add, you know, the perennial Rick Outs, the weekly Rick Outs in question, although he stopped asking recently, but are you going to announce that you're running for reelection? I know after last Thursday's meeting, there might be more incentive to not, but you know.
Fair assessment.
Anyway.
Listen, I feel like every step of my life, first on the first part of that question, every step of my life, I've tried to do what I kind of thought was the next right thing, whether that's for my family or for our community. That's worked out pretty well. So kind of having no plan about what I'm going to do has nice. Worked out pretty well, whether it's getting to work for Quint Studer or start my own business or be a sports writer and learn how to communicate. That's been pretty helpful, you know, to this day and age. So, you know, I'll get asked at a school, you know, how long have you dreamt that you're going to be the mayor? Well, I don't, not really that long. I never thought that wasn't in our purview until we said, well, hey, you know, we've been able to do these things and we feel like we can exact change in the city. So what I will tell you is I firmly believe that this job in the strong mayor format is an 8-year job. You can do it for 12 years. I that's what I can tell you today is okay. I do believe that. And look at all of the monumental projects that we're so excited about, from American of Magic to Hollis T. Williams to Palafox Street to Baptist Hospital, Fricker Center, airport terminal expansion. You know, right. I mean, you start adding up, and any one of those would be a pretty large generational project. And you think about, we've been as urgent as possible. And, you know, we're 3 years in.
And a lot of this stuff is on the still working on it phase. Which
exactly.
If there's progress, even if there's timeline and horizon for success, it doesn't happen in one administration.
And you know, in one administration, you don't go all the way to day 364, year four, right? I mean, you're done. So that's what you can read between whatever lines you'd like, but I certainly...
He just said he's running for re-election. Woo!
I certainly feel like this is an 8-year position, and when we're... ready to decide if
Rick's going
to
be so formally, angry you told me and not him. That's great.
So you can read between the lines.
We got a text in here. Somebody just says, Mr. Mayor, Reimagine Palafox is an awesome project. Excited to see it happen. Thank you for staying the course. Another example of, you know, a lot of misinformation, a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of anger, and, you know, well, you know, we'll have to see kind of what happens long run, but, you know, I'm pretty optimistic. Oh, just a real quick thing. I can't remember if we talked about this, but the bollards did not become a part of the plan because the plan itself is expensive. The bollards would be extra expensive, and the hope is to get the state to fund the bollards.
Yep, that's exactly right. Okay. So we certainly appreciate our delegation considering that. And it was a 7-figure addition on top of cost. So okay. And listen, all the parades, we just had a Christmas parade on Saturday. I mean that will actually be a cost savings for our police and fire. You know, when you have infrastructure, it replaces sometimes manpower, vehicles and manpower. And so, I think it's a very sound investment, number one, from a public safety standpoint, but even financially for the health of the city long term, to be able to have that infrastructure
available. We were talking before about Graffiti Bridge, and somebody says, if you're going to have a laser system, why can't you make the laser strong enough to just cut the tops off the truck before it hits the bridge? But that would be defeating the whole purpose of the fun of watching them hit the bridge, right? So
yeah, we did ask about that. FDOT debated it and decided to not let us do that.
All right. Let's serious text though. Please ask him to do something about all of these abandoned signs on small businesses in the city of Pensacola, some that have been up for decades with no intent to use them. They're an eyesore.
Well, again, I think that's a great example, and it's my annual plug for 311. When I arrived at this city, we had 2,100 open tickets in 311. So
311 being the, just for people who don't know.
Yeah, 311 is the catch-all line. If your garbage didn't get picked up, this is supposed to be the ease of memory and ease of service for every city resident. What you get for living in the city.
Emergencies, call 911.
Correct.
Non-emergency city business, call 311.
Yeah, it can be, hey, my neighbor has this. My garbage didn't get picked up. But it is a catch-all of 311, and Lisa and her team have done an amazing job. We had 2,100 open tickets. If you go watch the first 6 months of our
unresolved issues,
correct,
that people had not been handled, responded to, processed, whatever.
And what I said at the very beginning is, I'm not even to advertise 311 until we've got it going right. Because the last thing I want is someone to call and
don't promote a thing that's already broken.
Correct. And now we're down week to week to about 38 tickets.
Wow. I mean,
so we're certainly proud of the productivity of 311, and so it's. We're not deferring any responsibility, but any of those types of things, signage, the question about visible homelessness, any of those things, the safest thing to do is put a ticket in 311. And you know what? That puts the burden on me. It puts the burden on the city to get back to you and tell you what the response should be. So we're doing a great job there, and it's very, very useful. Make sure you use it if you're a city resident.
All right. 437-1620. That is my text line. You need to confront him as a tree killer.
Yes. Okay. Another complete misinformation issue. First and foremost, no trees are coming down on
this
city.
This is Baptist properties primarily we're talking about here.
So depending
on the Cuffrey Manor project, go ahead.
Depending on who you're talking to, there's either genuine misinformation or disingenuous misinformation
malice
about this issue. So number one is no on any piece, square inch of city property, no trees are being cut down. The city, including a headline from one of our media outlets that said the city is cutting down. City is cutting down nothing. That if you own private property in the city, there is a completely spelled out ordinance of which you can handle, be it by paying into the trust fund, be it by replantings. But there is no, we are not the king of England. We cannot tell someone on private property that if that has a tree on it to say you absolutely unequivocally cannot cut that tree down. We can't do that. That would devalue someone's private property. And there are private property rights in this state, mm-hmm. in this country, and certainly in this city. So this organization, they worked with us over months of time. They're
the developers for that project.
Right. This is their property bought by straight from Baptist, not from us. And they went through the exact process, including collaborating with us. And the point I made in the press conference yesterday is there's 28 heritage trees on site. 16 are saved. So there's actually fewer heritage trees going down than are preserved on private property.
So seven are getting cut down heritage trees, 16 12, are being preserved.
12 are being cut down, 16 are being preserved okay. on the heritage side.
Got it.
So and there's 98, so 68 total trees, 98 being replanted, and $10,000 into the tree trust fund. Every bit of that is spelled out in the ordinance. Mm-hmm. There is no autonomy for me or for the council. The process has been followed to a T exactly as it should. So again, if we're the king of England or we're in la la land about that we can just decide what someone can do with their private property, it's an impossible request from the city side. If you want to be upset at a private property owner for cutting down trees, that's your right. But the idea that the city has anything to do or any autonomy to tell someone that they can't cut trees down on their own property is absolutely false.
And if they want a stronger, more stringent tree ordinance of some kind, which they're certainly entitled to advocate for that and bring it to city council, call your city councilman and, let's strengthen the ordinance. But the ordinance is what it is and people are falling. And, I hate to see trees come down too.
Of course.
Nobody, the developers don't want to see trees come down, right. But they want to see the thing that gets developed there. And,
Every single tree, just one last point, every single tree proposed to be cut down, working with the city's arborist, is either in the footprint of the building or in a access way to access the building.
So it's There's only the bare minimum of what has to come down.
Lots of false presumption on that, too, that they're just flippantly cutting down trees. Right. No, every single tree that wasn't absolutely required for the footprint of the access or the building itself is staying.
Somebody had texted in the question, so we keep hearing about gentrification, and why are there not parallel terms? If gentrification means improving a neighborhood and raising property values, what about crapification or slumification or blightification, which is to make things worse? And I would say there needs to be a neutral, which would be no improvementification. And so if you do nothing, if you just turn Baptist into a grassy field, it's no improvementification. Well, I actually got a grassy field. That's better. But, maybe we need parallel terms because the way we talk about these things, it's prejudicial and inaccurate. So that's all. I would probably need another hour to dive into the
stereotypes and the misperceptions and real perceptions around what gentrification actually means.
Right.
It's an easy word to throw around.
Of course. It's a bogeyman, right? Yeah. It's like, you're doing this horrible thing, which, it is a bad thing when people feel like they're forced out of their homes. But, in Florida, for example, we have a tax exemption on your property homestead. It can only go up by 3% a year. So we're not New Orleans. There are differences. And that's also correct. The legislature is working to destroy property taxes. So even that argument is maybe going to change dramatically in the next year. Let's see, 437-1620. Where did my text line go all of a sudden? What are the heritage trees being replaced with? More oaks, crepe myrtles, something else? Don't know.
Yeah, actually, it's prescribed and worked collaboratively with our arborist on. So I don't have that tree list, but it is in the permit plan, it actually down to the individual tree, X number of crepe myrtles, X number. So if you haven't already asked for the public record, you certainly could do that. Those numbers are available. That's what I'd say, publicly, exactly what each individual tree replanting will be.
And you did mention yesterday in the press conference that net, the administration, the city is up trees quite a bit since you took over, hundreds of trees.
Palo Fox is going to be plus 51 on its own from where we are today. And, there's the other little thing about this project, which is the number one issue by far for our citizens when we asked them with a strategic plan was affordable housing. So sometimes we just can't have it all. We can't save every single tree and try to solve the largest crisis that we have in our city, which is
Kupferin Manor is going to be.
We have about 100 senior residents, 100 family residents that are those are Florida tax credit projects mm-hmm. that were awarded, which means these are going to be 60%, 80% AMI for the next 50 years. And even for years 51 to 99, one of these projects will be at max 120% AMI. So
okay.
this is the definition of, by formula, fully affordable housing, 200 units. So we're certainly blessed to have that. And unfortunately, to be able to build those buildings and to provide that affordable housing, there's going to be a couple
trees.
I
just don't understand why you can't make cheap housing, high quality neighborhoods, not kill any trees, not raise anybody's property values, but make the neighborhood a whole lot better in the process. And why can't everybody get everything that they want? Can't you make unicorns?
I'm taking notes on my phone right now. Yeah. I'm heading right into the office after this.